find our hymnal, turn over to number 209. Let's all stand together. There's sunshine in the soul. It took us a couple years to get there. We are there. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, listen, there ought to be sunshine in our souls. I mean, we have so much to be thankful for. Listen, I know the world throws so much cloud and rain and storm and thunder and lightning, all these things. But listen, God shines His sun in our life all the time. Amen. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer for our offering, gentlemen.
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all who were able to make it out this morning. Lord, just teach us from your word, encourage us, and strengthen us for the week to come. And just give us a good day in your house this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Puerto Rico Baptist College. I've got two letters in there for you. The first one from April, from Pastor Sunny Ponce. Interesting photograph. It has the words Haska Kea Venga in it, and I didn't know what that meant. Anybody else know? It means until he comes. An interesting thought. They were visiting Calvary Fundamental Baptist Church in Rio Grande, Puerto Rico. It's about 50 miles east of the college. The kids presented testimonies. They gave some special music. I say kids, the students. The pastor and wife prepared a dinner for them. And so now they have another church that's supporting the college, which is wonderful. Pastor's been getting good reports from local pastors in the area because the students go out every weekend and they serve in those churches. Apparently, this is priceless for them because it's given them hands-on teaching and preaching opportunities. And it's bearing fruit because they've seen remarkable progress. Every year when they have a graduation ceremony, they have a preaching contest for the men, the boy students, men students, and for the women, they have a devotional contest. And these things are all showing great improvements for these students. So this is all paying off for them. And there's another photo there, a photo of Benjamin, a new student, first-year student from Peru, majoring in Christian elementary education. So we'll look for great things from him. In the May-June letter, they did have their graduation ceremony. This is their 40th year of having ceremonies. That's pretty wonderful. They had the ceremony at the First Baptist Church in Levittown. That's about 5 miles north of the college. And all of the graduates, there's four of them there. They're all from Peru. They're very interesting. I haven't been there. Anybody been from Peru? No. I won't go into the details, but you've got Esther Sanchez. She got a BS in elementary ed for Christian education. We've got Caleb Chalk. He's got his BA for Christian missions, so there's another missionary. Nick Yuso, and also a BA in Christian missions, and Gustavo Alarcón, pastoral studies. So these are, we'll look for great things for them, all doing that in Spanish language, which is wonderful. During May, Puerto Rico Baptist Church came and they presented their ministry here in the States. They do this often. They went to two different states. They went to Knoxville, to Easley, and to Greenville. Maybe you've been to some of those places. I won't tell you the states. The Lord also has provided missionary trip opportunities for Carlos Hernandez. Now, he is a missions student, and he got to serve in several local churches. Now, this was 1,000 miles away, so he went to Colombia to do this. And then also Joanna Malka and Liseth Ruiz, they're both elementary ed students. They were directing and teaching in various VBSs during the summer, and they went to El Salvador, which is 1,500 miles away from the college. So this is wonderful, spreading the word of the Lord. There are a few prayer requests. They would like some visas. They've got 5 prospective students coming in the fall and August. They need their visas. You know how important that is. They also continue to ask for funds for the PRBC Foundation, which gives financial aid to students that are needy, but also are showing that they are prospective good students. And during the summer, I guess they do a lot of the maintenance of the facilities there at the college, so they would ask to provide for maintenance of those college or the facilities during the summer months. Trivia questions tonight will be on church, family, and geography. So come on back and read your letters. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that, the work they're doing. And they're doing, and I guess this would be said for all missionaries, but they're doing what we can't do. But particularly for them, we can't train Spanish-speaking people and to go in these places. So praise the Lord, we could be a part of that. Turn once again over to number 202. Let's all stand together again. My Redeemer.
Announcements for the week. There's a wedding Saturday. Did you know about that? Well, if you didn't know about that, make sure you RSVP. Please don't wake up Saturday morning and say, oh yeah, by the way, we're coming. They'll be happy that you're there. But please help and plan ahead and let them know that you plan on being there. Next Sunday, we're going to have a fifth Sunday fellowship on the first Sunday instead. It'll be just a normal fifth Sunday idea, lunch after the morning service and then an early afternoon service. So plan on attending, bring a lunch, bring a little bit more for somebody else, and come have a good time in fellowship with everybody. With that, our camper prayer week, the wristbands will be available next week. Please keep the campers in mind. And don't just pray for the one particular wristband that you get. Pray for all of them. But say a specific prayer for the one that you do get. There's nothing like knowing that there's people praying for you where you're at a place where the opportunity for God to do something great in your life is there. We're excited. We get to go with the juniors. Raph's going to be going to teen camp. It's his first year going to teen camp. So we're excited for them. So as a father, I would very much appreciate you praying for my kids as well, the same way that I'm going to be praying for yours. And those are the announcements, Pastor.
Amen. Listen, we're not really going to actually have a fifth Sunday fellowship. We're going to have a Sunday the fifth fellowship. I've been waiting to use that joke. That was Joyce. That was Joyce's joke. So I took it. But I always tell my kids, because a lot of times they'll tell jokes and it's maybe not the right timing or not loud enough or didn't get the audience. And I'll hear it and it's funny. So I'll repeat it and everybody will laugh. And I'll tell them, I say, listen, most good comedians have a writer anyway. So just, you know, it's okay. And so it's, but anyway, that was funny. So we're going to do that. It's just a good time. We're going to do it again, probably the first Sunday in August. And we may forego one of the ones, the fifth Sundays in the fall, just because with the school and as it just is more. And so we may do our fifth Sunday at other Sundays than the fifth. It depends on when it lines up with a holiday or something. We'll have to see as the year comes on. But well, we do like to get together in fellowship and eat. Listen, it's biblical. Breaking bread together, we find that throughout. It's a great, and I mean, I'm a little funny about that, but it is. It's a time to get together. You know, you sit around food and you're talking and eating and we talk about more things, get to know each other, and that's really, they did it constantly, in particularly in the early church, and we do see it through the epistles. At times they were talking about this thing. It's a great time, and so I don't want to give undue pressure on it. Yeah, I do. But I want to just encourage you to be a part of that, and when those come up. And then the thing, Brother Eddie talked about those wristbands, it's just our way to remember. Maybe you're like, man, I put that around me. It's going to irritate my skin. You know, find a place you can put it. Maybe hanging on your refrigerator door or off the mirror on your car. You know, something like that where you'll see it daily and remind you. And and pray for that. We're going to distribute the names, kind of evenly put them out there. And you know, we want God to do something that we can't do on our own. Good preaching directs us to the Lord, but the Spirit of God has to be the one to do that, and we need prayer. And so I think it's a great thing for us. You know, I'm going to get to the message, and we're going to get to the rest in a minute. But you know, one of the things that happens with special meetings, we'd have the men's meeting, we'd go and the men would go and they'd come back just, man, moved. And you come back and everybody has like been living their lives. They just had a normal weekend and they're like, ah, let me tell you about this thing. And they're so excited and everybody's kind of like, oh yeah, they did that. I've been at camp and I've ran camps. We've done this. Kids come and just their lives, they just get so stirred. And the adults too. By the way, the adults too. It's not just the kids. I mean, you know, it. You know, all of us, I would say. And you come back and you're just like, whew, I've had a week away from the world and just focus. And you come back and like you've kind of been in this bubble and you're a little bit kind of, you know, just high on God and excited about it. And people come back and you come back and, oh yeah, that was this week. It almost takes the wind because you're like ready to come back and, you know, as they say, charge hell with a squirt gun. You know, I don't even know what that means, but it means you're just ready to get after it and the rest. And so I think it's a great idea to help us to all remember, even those that aren't going and to be involved in that. Amen? Looking forward to that coming up here next week. And by the way, I will say it's a little too late for RSVP. Come. We never run out of food. Amen? So, and we have seats, so come. And too late now. If we figured you're coming, we already counted you. Amen? If you came to the last one, you are required to come to this one as well. And, no, we'd love you to be here, and it's our church, it's our family together. This is where we do it here because we want you folks to be here, part of it with us. And we invite those other people to come in, you know, like family, whatever. But we want you to be a part of it. Let's turn over once again to number 330. Let's all stand. Let's all stand together. 331. Sorry. Song like this, we think, where God leads us to go is as that last verse said, you know, across, you know, to over the stormy seas and these far, we think, God, where's God taking me? I don't think God's leading me anywhere. Sometimes it's not where as in a place, but where as in a person. Right? Might be all the way across the street, or it might be to the person sitting next to you, somebody living in your neighborhood. Where He leads us isn't always to another place, but it's to the places that we already have. We're already at. On that last verse. That's good. Okay. I can never hear up here if you can hear out there. We so enjoyed the years that we got to travel around the country and sing and have our family together all singing. There's a lot of practices that ended in tears. Others that ended in other things. But somehow, you know, we worked that out. And so you think these girls going away and already with college and different things, we getting all of them together. We went out for a meal Saturday. Was it Saturday? Friday? Friday. Yeah, Friday. And just the eight of us, I'm thinking, wow, when's the last time that we, just the eight of us, got together? Now there's these boys hanging around, you know. And so it's part of life, amen. And so we're glad for that, but it's also the end of an era, you know, for our family. And we're not mad about that. It's just the way it is. And so, but it's still my family, still my favorite singers. I still love them. They're singing. We made a CD years ago, and we didn't really have the money that it costs to really make a CD, to make them write and to do all the stuff with it. It's you don't know how much they fix those things before they come out. And so we made one. It was a cheaper guy, and it was like, this is great. And we went to church because churches kept saying, "Y'all have a CD?" I'm like, "Yeah, great." So we made one, and it was almost embarrassed to sell it. All the money went to help these girls going to college, and all of it went to the college fund and so forth. And some would say, that's so great, I listen to it every day. And I'm like, oh, because you listen to it, it's not well, but you know, amen. And we don't have any more, so yeah, it's worth, yeah, I don't, anyhow, but we always wanted to do another one, maybe someday. Probably not. But it was, even if it's just, maybe we'll get Brother Bob to pull some down off, and, you know, we've put them together. That'd be awesome. But Acts chapter 13. Oh, children's, let's have children's church dismissed. Sorry. Amen. Amen. We got a straggler. Acts chapter 13 this morning. Turn to verse 48 with me, if you would. Acts 13, verse 48. Let's all stand together as soon as you find your place there. Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. And we covered this already. I just want to kind of get us back into the setting. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this time this morning. Thankful for your word. Lord, I pray that this morning as we look into this and what's to follow here of this account of so many years ago and the early church, the missions program was really just beginning. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to, Lord, see these things in our lives and apply it. And, Lord, we might have a burden and a desire. Lord, would you give us that this morning? We'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. What an exciting thing. So Paul and Barnabas, they've left Antioch in Pisidia now. They've left there. They had already experienced both acceptance and rejection. We see that here. And now they're going to arrive. They've arrived at Iconium. And what happens in Iconium is not unique to that city. It's the experience of the faithful servants throughout the book of Acts. We're going to find this same thing. We're going to get to it in a minute. You're like, what happened? That's what we'll look at this morning. And And it kind of continued, but it's not only the experience there in the book of Acts, it's the experience of many missionaries today. We've just experienced here in our church over the past month and a half, three missionary families, three of our missionary families that have visited, that have experienced some of the same things we're going to see in this passage this morning. We've had three missionaries with us, European missionaries, that have dealt with probably more of the opposition than they have the acceptance. And so I think we could certainly sense that in their testimonies. And but it's not only just with missionaries, but it's also the experience of believers, just the average believer that's faithfully living and speaking for Christ. This is part of what we find. It's part of the experience. Isn't it awesome? We get to experience the same thing they did in the Bible. Some of it is awesome. No. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's some great, wonderful things. But, you know what we want? We kind of want what Job's wife wanted. All the blessings and none of the non-blessings, right? None of the challenges, the burdens. It doesn't really work that way, does it? So point number one this morning is this. The missionaries experienced opportunity. I want to say that again. What they experienced was opportunity. Chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude of both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. Whew, what an awesome thing. Paul and Barnabas entered into the synagogue. They went where the people could be reached with the gospel. I was thinking about this a little bit this morning, and as I was looking over my notes before church and before I got here this morning, and as I always do, and Sunday morning before I come, I always kind of give a last look over, make sure it's as smooth as I'd hope. It's never as smooth, and so I usually spend some time editing and smoothing out. And I got really thinking about this. What is an equivalent for us today of what the Jews had with going to the synagogue? It's where the people could be reached with the gospel. It's kind of this collective, if we'd say, this place that they were. We don't really have anything in our day and age that's equivalent to that. This was a people that went from Judaism that God had established that now was being fulfilled and was coming in and into Christianity. So this was. They weren't going to a people that opposed them. They weren't going to a different denomination. They weren't going to a different religion. They were going to the people who the promise was given to, right? We don't really, in that sense, have that. Let me go into a church somewhere and go preach at them. You know, probably not exactly that same equivalent what they had in the synagogues of that day. But as I thought about this and trying to think of something. I thought maybe we could liken it to the places that we used to go individually. The places that we used to go. The people that we have and that we used to are the people that we have influence over. Or the relationships that we had with people before we were saved. You know, the best I could liken it to for us is something like that. Maybe those groups that I used to hang out, maybe it's family members, maybe it's a society, maybe it's a neighborhood I used to go and spend the time with them. I don't necessarily think if your influence was at the bar that we go back there, but maybe it is. I don't know. We met this missionary, evangelist. He was an evangelist to casinos and gamblers. It was weird. I'll be honest. It was weird. He had this track. This is what he did. I don't know if I agree or disagree with him. I'm just saying what it is. And God used him in the way he used him. He had this track, and on the back of his track, it had odds of winning. Different games, didn't it? It was like it had odds, and he would give it out to gamblers, and they would keep it because it had odds of winning. I can't remember exactly what it was. Maybe in blackjack or some certain cards. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was many years ago. I remember looking at him like, this is different, you know. And he actually would go into a casino. He was a dealer in casinos before that. And so after he got saved, he went back in and tried to, you know, he didn't really deal with the whole gambling thing with people. Just try to reach him for Christ. And the whole thing was, you know, the odds of you winning in this life without Jesus Christ are zero. And so that was his whole kind of... So my point is just this, when I was thinking about that this morning, is what is our equivalent to going into the synagogues for us, maybe going back to those places that maybe the places that we're at, our workplace or different things like that. So, you know, it's really just... entering back among those people, looking for an opportunity. Looking for an opportunity. So what did they do when they got in there? Well, they spoke. That's what it says there. And they went in there and so spake. I want to say this here this morning real clear, and I want us to understand this. A lot of people get a little confused about this. I don't think maybe so much in this room do, but I do want to just say that missions work is not primarily about feeding people. Right? No, missions work is not primarily about building homes or building buildings. I've talked to people, oh yeah, I've been on missions, and I'll mention to somebody that we were a missionary. A lot of times it's my way to kind of get into, see if there's an opportunity. Well, we're talking about something, I want to find a way to bring in the fact that I'm a Christian. We're just talking about normal, everyday stuff. I meet somebody somewhere. We were talking to somebody at a grocery store yesterday waiting in line to get some tacos. And ladies there, it's, you know, we want to just kind of talk, and we want to, you know, my wife and I the whole time were thinking about how can we... I asked my wife after. I didn't really need to ask her, but I just did. I said, did you give her a check? She's like, yeah. Like, duh. You know, and so... you want to find an opportunity somewhere to, and so a lot of times we'll say, you know, we were, oh yeah, we, you know, something happened, something, yeah, we were missionaries, and it's like, oh, okay, and then we kind of get into a conversation. Now, you may not be able to do, but you can say something in that way, but a lot of times we'll say, oh yeah, so we were, I was a missionary too. I did a missions trip too. We went and built this building for an orphanage or something like that. That's nice. Orphans need a house. Amen. Right? People need fit. But that's not the primary work of missions. It's not even counseling. It's not crisis management. Listen, it's not even relationship building and friendship development. Right? It's primarily speaking the gospel message. You see here, they got in there, and they didn't tell them how they needed to quit doing what they were doing. They came, and they spake. Okay, all those other things might present opportunities. Amen? There's people, we fed people so that we could get an opportunity to give them gospel tracts. I went around to gypsy villages and couldn't speak their language, but what all languages speak is filling their bellies. So we'd give them rice and dried fish. That's an awesome gift. Dried fish. How many here ever smelt dried fish? Oh, man. If you go by somewhere where they're drying fish, it gets in your nose and stays for a long time. You know what I mean? And you want to get it out, but it hurts. It burns. And they love it, though. And so you do that. And, you know, they might present opportunities. But this is what I'm saying here this morning, folks, with this. If we do not learn how to speak the gospel, if we do not learn how to speak the gospel, all the other things that we do will be a wasted effort. What God blessed was the preaching of His Word. We find that in Antioch and Pisidia. We're going to find it here again in Iconium. We're going to find that throughout the Word of God. What He blessed was the preaching of His Word. And it says there, and a great multitude believed, and it was both Jews and Gentiles that believed. Can I say this to you? The gospel is powerful. Okay, let me try that again. The gospel is powerful. Amen. Okay, you're with me. All right. I knew you were, but I wanted you to agree with me. Because it is. It's not agree with me. The gospel is powerful. It is the power of the Word of God. Listen, it is not, and I want us to understand this clearly, it is not our awesome ability to present theological dissertations on the holiness and justification of God that's going to win people to Christ. When I sit down and talk about the holiness and justification of God and say so many words that you don't know half of them, they may be impressed with us, but they're not going to, people aren't going to say, okay, so what do I do? Can you start over? And we do the same thing. Listen, it's not our personality. It's not our ability, rather, to present this thing like that. Can I say this? It's not our ability to articulate the King James Version's philosophy on formal equivalence, defend its underlying Textus Receptus tradition, or expound the principles of its translation methodology. When I talk about how great it is, people are going to come to Jesus Christ. No, folks, sometimes we focus on trying to be great at the things that really only matter to other people that are already saved. It's not our personality. I wish I could remember the story. I think it was Brother King that told the story. He would tell a story about this young man that was this great evangelist. He would go to schools, and he would book schools, and he would go into a town, and he'd have about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 schools, and many as they could schedule them in schools. He would go to their assembly, and he would speak. And he would reach so many young people and then have a meeting. So he said, we're going to do this, have a meeting. And he was so excited to meet this evangelist. He was a young man. And just to get to know him, he went and went and finally met him. He's like, hey, you know, the guy was just quiet. He was very quiet, unassuming, kind of like so disappointing. You expected this big personality. It was going to come and entertain and do all this. Like, how was he reaching all these kids? It was just a quiet, unassuming little guy that just couldn't, you'd like look at him, kind of a scrawny guy. You think, what on earth is this guy? How is he going to? And he would go in, and he was thinking, oh man, I booked all of these schools for him to go. This is going to be so kind of embarrassing. And he would go into these schools, and this young man would just, tell of his testimony, it was so unassuming that you're thinking, and that meeting after meeting after meeting, he would just fill buildings with every chair available. It was just amazing. And the point of that, of realizing this thing, is it's not our personality, folks. It's not our, I'm just not like you, right? I just don't have the personality to do that. I'm telling you, this isn't about personality. I don't think the Apostle Paul had a great personality. I really don't. I don't get that idea of him in the Scriptures. I don't get that he had. Probably Peter was a little more outgoing. He blew it a lot. Right? He's kind of known for running his mouth. I hate the fact that I kind of identify more with Peter than Paul. You know? And so it's not our personality. It's not our deportment. It's not even our Baptist attire. Honestly, there's only one part of us that really is the effective part of the gospel presentation. It's our voice. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that's the answer. It is the power of God unto salvation, right? He is, and His message, that's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, is what the Apostle Paul said it in that way. Every open door should be viewed as a gift from God. Every open door of opportunity should be viewed as a gift of God. So the opportunity before them, it was real, and the result and the resulting fruit was real, what they had there in Iconium. Faithful servants, listen, Faithful servants must recognize and seize the opportunities that God provides. That's what we must do. Look, but opportunities are not always readily available. Right? I mean, we could go days, weeks, and months without an opportunity that comes and presents itself to us. It isn't like I have people coming to me every week or every day coming up to me and asking me, "Hey, could you tell me how to be saved?" I think I might count on one hand how many times that actually happened. Right? And probably more times it happened in the midst of church, which is already kind of not exactly fair because I came for that purpose. You know, I'm okay with that. Don't misunderstand me. But that's probably not where the opportunities come, is we're just standing somewhere and somebody comes up and asks. That does happen. So opportunities come when we're willing to step into them. Y'all with me this morning? Y'all follow me? So opportunities come when we're willing to step into them. Those occasions can take a sacrifice of our time. You know what it might take? It might take us putting our phone down. It might take us not posting about every meeting we have with people or our meals. Anyway, it might take us some time. It's a sacrifice of our time. You know, I think probably one of the greatest things that phones do, what they're really good at in our generation, social media and all that, of zapping our time. Do you have one of those things on your phone that tells you how much time this week that you spent on each one, on each app or something like that? You should get that. Because what you're going to do after a little bit, you're like, I ain't looking at that again. Right? But it's a sacrifice of ours. And not just that. That's just one area. This is new. This is new for our generation, folks. We don't have anybody else to look at. Well, how did they go through life with, how did they deal with that? They didn't have that. They had other things. I think what we have, I think our challenges are greater than everyone else's. But I'm being a little facetious there, but I do think it's stacking up in a lot different way. So it's going to take a sacrifice of my time. It means I can't just give my time to me and my people. But it's also going to take a surrender of our self-conscious pride. Talking to somebody about the Lord seems like you are a fanatic. Imagine going up to somebody and say, have you ever thought about where you're going to spend eternity? Oh no, here you go, you're going to start preaching, right? All of a sudden, you're like this. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I don't think about that either. I was just wondering if you did, because if you were one of those people, you know what I mean? Man, our self-conscious pride will just wear us down. And man, it takes so much to get past that, doesn't it? You don't just one day live in that and then the next day say, you know, I don't care about that anymore. I'm just going to break out of it. No, there takes some steps. I can remember, and this is so goofy. I can remember when I first started trying to give out tracts. I say trying because it was trying. And I would like, I'm going to give them out at grocery stores. Because remember back before we had self-checkouts? Some of y'all remember that? You go up and I'm like, I'm trying to give it. I'm just like, you know, I want to, and you're just ready and you're just scared. And so what I would do is I would wait till we're completely done. I've paid them. They've given me my change. And then as I'm leaving, I'm like, hey, here's just something to read when you have some time. And I don't even look back. I don't want to look at their faces. You know what I mean? Because they're going to be mad. And you know, it was so funny. I realized, you know, the same word, the same phrase everyone, almost all of them would say, thank you. It took me a while to begin to expect that, right? And I thought, okay. I mean, they're working, though. I don't know if it would be the same in grocery stores. You're like, why are you bothering me? I have to put my phone down to look at you because they're doing self-check. Maybe they're looking at their job, right? I'm just saying, folks, it takes a surrender of our own self-conscious pride
to take those and step out into those opportunities. Well, if an opportunity ever comes to me, I would do it. My first part of that was opportunities usually don't just come to us. So there's no greater place to experience that surrender of your time, a sacrifice of our time, and a surrender of our self-conscious pride. There's no better place to experience those two things than on something I like to call door-to-door visitation. You ever have a salesman knock on your door? I have had more salesmen in Florida in the time we've been here than I've had in all the rest of my life anywhere else. Y'all know that? Seriously, this is different here. This is different here. I don't know. I mean, all kinds of things from television, or not television, but internet to solar panels to, I don't know, windows. And they're always roofs. I mean, everything. We're cutting trees. I mean, just constantly knocking on doors. I feel bad for those people that they got that job. You chose it, buddy. Go get a different job. I do feel bad for them, but I'm not bad enough that I want them to knock on my door and get my dogs crazy. It's like, ah. But I'm telling you, there is no greater place than to experience a sacrifice of our time, giving our time, and surrendering our self-conscious pride. I've probably been spoken to the harshest here in Florida as well. No greater place than to experience both of those things than door-to-door visitation. Very few places on this earth will you get the opportunity to be humbled and have people slam the door in your face than on door-to-door visitation. Have you ever had anybody slam a door? I mean, just a normal life, people slam the door. A normal life? No, I mean, not door-to-door visit. I just mean normal life you have. Okay, well, it's your job. Okay. And it should have been. No, I'm kidding. So sometimes, you know, most of us don't get, if somebody slams the door in your face, you're like, wow. Except for it's hard for me to, I don't live a normal life. My life is around the gospel. You know what I mean? So I probably have more than most people. But I've probably knocked a lot more doors than most people, too. Here's the thing I'm going to say. Nowhere on this earth are you going to get the opportunity to be humbled and get the door slammed on your face than door-to-door visitation. It's an awesome opportunity to grow in the Lord. So, we're going to be starting door-to-door visitation back up after camp. So I want to encourage you to, you're like, you didn't make that sound exciting. I'm telling you, it's exciting in different ways than you'd imagine. The power is the gospel. But the opportunity to share the gospel doesn't just come to us. Amen? Anybody that's tried to share it, you don't say, I mean, I wish somebody would come and ask me. Come on. I mean, you could live. Here's the, and man, I've already spent too much time on this, but you could spend weeks, months, years trying to develop a testimony that somebody would know you're a Christian and realize something's different about it for them to finally ask you, what's so different about you? And then you tell them, well, you know, I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, so I know I'm going to heaven and, you know, I'm not going to be spared from hell. And then they could say something like this, well, why have you never told me about it? Well, I was waiting for you to ask. Well, so you've got the cure to eternity and you've been withholding it from me? I think our opportunity is lost then. At least very hindered. It's kind of a double-edged sword here. Either way, if I'm gonna do the main thing that God wants me to do, the power of the gospel, I'm probably going to have to take a step into some hostile territory. When Paul and Barnabas stepped into the synagogue to tell them about the Savior who they crucified, probably wasn't thinking, they're going to love us here. Right? Listen, I'm not saying, don't, and I've kind of overplayed it a little bit maybe, but I'm not saying we're going to be doing exactly what Paul and Barnabas were doing here. But it is certainly an opportunity to speak for the Lord. But they not only had opportunity, point number two, the missionaries experienced opposition. You're like, I thought that's what you were already talking about. Well, I was alluding to it, but let's get into it. Verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Okay, listen here. Not everyone's going to believe that here's the gospel. Did you know that? I don't understand it. To the best of my knowledge, and I say it this way because I think there's a great potential that I heard the gospel before I got saved, but I didn't hear it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it was presented to me. Maybe. I think my aunt tried to, I think, I look back at her, I think she was trying to tell me about stuff. I just didn't get. I thought, oh, that's sweet. She cares about me. I didn't really get. But the best of my knowledge, the first time I heard the gospel message, I said, that's what I'm looking for. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Never turned back. I thought, man, that's it. So when I thought that's how everybody else did it. They're just waiting to hear. I was so excited to start telling people, man, I've got the power right here. I got the power now. I was so excited. I thought, because for me, I was sitting in ignorance. And once I received Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, my life changed. It was so exciting. The joy in being filled with the Holy Ghost, I experienced that. Can I say I still experience that? It wasn't something I experienced. I live it now. I'm filled with that. And, I mean, there's an ebb and flow of the super excitement because there is opposition. But I'm saying it's so exciting. I thought, I'm going to go tell people about Jesus Christ, about the power of the gospel. And here's the answer. And I thought, they're all going to come in. I'm going to be like the Pied Piper, right? And they're going to come along. And the first people I told was my mom and a lady that was like a grandma to me. And I thought, man, I got it. And I knew they weren't saved because they'd never talked about Jesus. They kind of went to church here and there, but never talked about Jesus. But the lady was kind of like my grandma. I mean, she was the only person, and this would be hard to believe for some of y'all, but when I was little, like young, 2, 3, 4, like that, I got kicked out of daycares. I was too destructive. You're like, that couldn't have been you. Well, I know. She was the only one that would tolerate me, and I did bust out windows out of her. Why did she have a hammer sitting around if she didn't want me to use it? So, bless her heart. I stayed there. I mean, I stayed there for my, it was just my mom raised me, so I had to be in the daycare there. It was at her home, and it was a great time, and she loved me, and like her grandson, and it was a great, great thing, and, so they're sitting there, and I knew they weren't saved because they never talked about Jesus. My mom, she went to church a few times, but we never talked about anything about God. And I'm like, they're probably not because they never really heard the gospel. I shared the gospel, and they're like, oh yeah, we've already done that. I don't really know how to respond to that. Like, see, you've already trusted Christ, but you've still, you never, nah, you can't have trusted Christ but never wanted your children to know about it. You've trusted Christ, but you, I mean, the bus picked up my sister and I. And I'm not being offensive to my mom. It's not, sorry, mom, if you watch it. But the fact is, that's not the power of the gospel. And so I began to, and I thought, they're going to, and they didn't, and they wouldn't. And I thought, oh, it was strange to me, honestly. And I began telling other people everywhere I'd go, and we'd go on visitation. My wife and I would go on Thursdays, and then we'd go to church on Saturday. We just loved it. I'm going to go out and knock doors. This is great. We went on, I really like to call it more like church invitation. I didn't even know really how to present a really good, so we just go visit people and, hey, we'd like to invite you to our church. And, nobody wanted to come. But that's okay. We just love, like, we get to go do this. So exciting. And I learned pretty quick that most people weren't interested. Not everyone will believe. I can't make that make sense. I can't. I don't. Why would somebody understand this and say, I'm going to wait on that? I know it's the power of God to salvation. I know it brings joy. And I know it brings the answer of a creator that has given me the hope. But I'm going to wait. I don't know. I can't understand. But there will be, not everyone will believe. The unbelieving Jews rejected the message of Jesus Christ, what we see here. Now look here. Unbelief does not remain neutral. It will often, okay, unbelief will often get to work. That's what will happen. It'll often get to work. Somebody that was like on your side and excited about what you were doing, cleaning up your life a little bit, they like your life to be cleaned up, but all of a sudden they'll get involved in this thing and they'll get to work, and they worked to influence others. That's what they did. Notice the course that followed here. First, we find that there were Jews that would not believe. Then they stirred up the Gentiles. Listen, I want to say unbelievers are not neutral. They're not really atheists either. Most people say, well, I'm just an atheist. Well, I find very few people believe nothing. Do you believe something or nothing? Well, I believe something. I just don't want... Here's what it is. They oppose the message of Christ. They oppose any thought that they may have to change from their opinion or from their situation. I don't want to change. I like my life. Even when they don't. It's a strange thing. It's why it's hard. You know, you get saved, and it's been 30 years since I've been saved, but it's hard to go back to that. Like, how did I want to sometimes get my mind in there. Why? How did I do what I did back there? I can't really remember. Sometimes when I'm telling stories about that old me, it doesn't even seem like me. It seems like some other guy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Who is that guy? I don't know, but that was me. Sometimes I'm thinking, is that true? It was. But they don't want to move from their position. But not only that, but they poisoned the minds of others. They made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. So we're talking about suspicion, prejudice, and hostility were created. They began this. You ever found somebody? They see somebody. They're like friends with you, man. They seem to be this, like, I mean, personality, like, when I say friends, we just got along. And then one day they come up and it's like something switched in them. All of a sudden they can't stand to be around you. They got this look on their face. They begin to put you down, to insult you. It's like, wow, what happened? I've had that happen to me. And it's like, or somebody comes along that you've never met and they already have this hostility against you. It's like, they don't know me enough to not like me. Now, you get to know me, you don't like me, that's fair. But you don't know me enough to not like me. You know what happened? Somebody already stirred them up. By the way, I can tell when you stirred up your people against me. Not really. But listen, the missionaries experienced opposition. This didn't, but here's the thing. This didn't cause Paul and Barnabas to flee. It caused them to continue to persuade those that were evil affected. Look at verse 3. Let's go back to verse 2 again, grab this. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Listen, they didn't... Okay, I want to focus this for just a minute here. They didn't attack them back. Uh, Men's Sunday School talked about this morning. I think that's why I tuned in on a little bit. They didn't attack them back. I mentioned it to the men in our Sunday school, and after Brother Eddie left a few minutes, I took them. And so it says God still loves, and still, what was it he does? He does whatever it is. He loves him. He does things for the unthankful. I don't really like that. When people are unthankful, I want to kind of be like, phew. But he said also, and to the evil. It's really quite a fascinating thing to realize what that is and what that means for us. And so, because I said it so off, I just want to read it. He said, here it is. It says, he is kind. He is kind to the unthankful. That's Luke 6:35. He's kind to the unthankful. Listen, they didn't attack them back. That's not true what they're saying about us. That's not true. No, they didn't attack them back. They continued to boldly speak about how right they were. No. They continued to boldly speak the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Listen, we do not resort to their tactics, their anger, or their rude, obnoxious behavior. Oh, we want to. Oh, we do. Nothing like rooting back to somebody's rude. I'm going to give them back what they give me. Right? You know what I'm saying? We want to get a little Miss Thing. We want to just tell them like it is. Oh, you know, I can outdo you what you can do. Sure, you could. By the way, this wasn't just for a few days they tolerated this. It says here in verse 3, long time, therefore, they abode. This isn't a phrase that's used a lot. Usually, we kind of see more of this short time. It's suggested in many, I try to figure out exactly. You can't really find out. It's exactly, but some time frames are probably it's suggested maybe 6 months or so or something around that time frame. The results of the unbelieving Jews stirring up the Gentiles and the apostles preaching, okay, is we see in verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. So the result of this stirring up was a division. Do you see that? It's kind of what we find in our country. Stirring people up against Christianity causes a division. Some stood with the believers. We got a lot of people in our country today because of our politics. We got a lot of people. And so the Christianity kind of gets lumped with the right, with the Republicans. And so they kind of stand with us. I'm not saying most of them, I wouldn't say even most of them are even believers. You hear them and you hear their testimony. It's not about God. It's about civilized manners. But used to be, it's kind of getting more centric. But I'm just saying there begin to be this kind of thing. But here's the thing. We don't resort to what they're doing. The city became divided. Some stood with the apostles, some stood against them. Truth forces a decision. The opposition, though, eventually becomes dangerous. Look at verse 5. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with the rulers to use them despitefully, and to stone them. Okay, so they planned an attack. So it's happening. They're planning this attack. And their intention was to mistreat them and stone them. Now, by the way, to stone them means to kill them. Not just throw stones and scare them away and deter them. No. Listen, they wanted to kill them. When you, not we, but when people stir up others against Christianity, assassinations are going to happen. Be tempted, be attempted, and to be happen, and will happen. We found that. We found this over and over in our society. It's coming more and more and more. The anger of those that oppose God can be severe. The enemy still works through opposition today. Still does that. We know that. So missionaries face resistance, opposition, and resistance, and not just the doubting of their message. But the opposition wants the message silenced. Churches face resistance, right? Testimonies of churches are hurt by lies and deception and even a stirring up of people against us. Well, you know what they're doing over there, right? Well, that pastor did this, or the deacon did this, or one of the Sunday school did, you know, what they do over there is this. And they begin to stir up lies. Sometimes it's truths that are twisted. Deception. By the way, be careful that we don't do the same thing. I despise this, and I think God does too. Even with churches that we do not completely agree with, and we know that they're not completely accurate. Listen, let's not get involved in trying to... I think it's a downfall. I think what we find, it's a downfall. We end up finding ourselves the same thing that these Jews were doing, stirring up people. We're stirring them up against them. You know, most of the world doesn't know the difference between good Christianity and bad Christianity. And when we talk about how others that are Christians are bad, they don't hear, oh, they're bad and we're good. We think they do. They don't hear that. They hear none of those Christians can agree with each other. And that is true. But our role in this world isn't to go around opposing all that is wrong. We are to proclaim that which is right. You see the difference? Our role isn't to go around and talk about everything that's wrong. Let me point out everything that's wrong. Man, you've got to spend your life and never get to every finger point you ought to do. But if we point to... Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." He said, "If you'll lift me up, I'll do the drawing." Isn't that awesome? Well, don't I have to tell them about all their sin? No. Now, as a believer, there's some things that we deal with. Amen. Amen. The Bible does deal with this a lot, but I'm talking about to the lost world. There's to be a clear distinction between the unbeliever and the believer. Right? Yeah. So maybe there's no greater way to distinguish ourselves than to focus on Christ and not be demeaning to others. You know, sometimes I feel like I need to tell other people how bad some place is so they don't go there. You know what they teach over there? You say, "Do you do that, Pastor?" Yeah, a lot, probably. And that really encourages people not to go there, doesn't it? Not usually. You know, the battle is spiritual long before it becomes visible. Something's going on in the heart. So there was opportunity, there was opposition, and then the third thing, the missionaries persevered. Look at verse 3 once again. "Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace." Okay, listen. Opposition did not immediately stop them. We see that? So opposition isn't our roadblock. Long time they abode speaking boldly in the Lord. Listen, they continued while God gave opportunity. Listen, they continued while God gave opportunity. Remember I said opportunity is a gift of God. When God gives us opportunity, it's an opportunity for me to serve Him. Well, why do we have to serve Him? No, we don't have to. We get to. I don't want to make this a give and get. I don't want to make that a give and get, but I'm telling you, God, Bible gives us that. We're going to be rewarded in heaven by what we do for Him now. You say, so do we just do it to get? I think if we just do it to get, it won't be a good spirit. I think that we do for others because we love them. But when what we do for others, what we do for the Lord because we love Him, and this is what we find, some burn up and some remain. It's those because I want to serve Jesus, I want to live for the Lord, and I get that to other people. He said, we get an opportunity is to set treasure in heaven. Well, I don't really care about having any treasure in heaven. You will. You will. Long time. So they continued, while God gave opportunity. Look at verse 5 now. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with the rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, unto the region that lieth round about it, and there they preached the gospel. Okay, so when circumstances changed, they adapted. They learned of the plot and departed to Lystra and Derbe. And sometimes the best thing to do is take the gospel onward instead of staying and dying. Sometimes. We do know that sometimes believers did stay and die. Like Stephen. He stayed and died at the hands of stones. And we know of modern missionaries reading the Incas and Ecuador and some of these places, they go and they just say, we're going to go and stay and die. And God used that later on to reach many others. And but mostly, it is move forward and not stay and die. Amen? Amen? Yeah, I'd rather move on with the gospel than stay and die. I kind of prefer that. My wife would prefer if I do that too. But sometimes God's going to do that, but mostly He doesn't. Amen. I'm glad for that. Their mission and ministry remained unchanged. They did not quit. They continued preaching the gospel. The faithful kept going with the message and ministry. So the location may change. The circumstance may change. The opposition may even change. But the mission remains the same. Okay. Ready? Conclusion. Amen. I always get that second perk, like, oh, amen. Well, wake up now. We're almost done. Number one. There's only 2 points. Paul and Barnabas experienced opportunity and opposition. In either situation, no matter what the situation was, they persevered. This is the testimony of missionaries throughout history. Throughout history is missionaries that persevered no matter what the situation was. And it's being repeated by missionaries today. Here's point number two. This is just it. Just this statement. Many that are sitting here this morning in our service also have a testimony of perseverance with the gospel message. In spite of the opposition, some of you have had to go through some serious opposition with the gospel message, even with your own family. What experience from it, and there's still perseverance even in that today. And I'm just saying we can continue that. Here's the challenge this morning. When God gives opportunity, be faithful and speak the gospel. When the opposition comes, look here, don't be surprised. If you start serving Jesus, it's going to hurt. No, I think opposition just shows that that the power of the gospel does prick the heart. And there's going to be opposition. Sometimes opposition comes before they break down that wall in their life. So opposition is, I know it, I don't like conflict. I don't like conflict. I don't understand people that like conflict. Some kind of thrive. Yeah, I like it. No, I'm not a boxer. I've never tried to be a boxer. I don't mind punching somebody else. I just don't want to get punched back. Hypothetically. Don't be a brawler. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just the whole sport thing. I used to be, when I was a batter, I liked hitting the ball, but I was as a kid, I was kind of, took me years where I wasn't afraid the ball was going to hit me, and it did hit me a lot. And so I could see they're trying to get me. Listen, don't be surprised when opposition comes. That's part of it, folks. This is the power of the Gospels. Man, it's powerful. When difficulties arise, do not quit. They stayed long time when people were being evil, affected, and opposing because they needed to try to have an opportunity to break through that. People do break through that. Continue speaking boldly in the Lord. Continue trusting God. And then finally, continue the work He has given you in the lives of those that are around you. Your synagogue today is those people in your life. Those people, the places that you've been. Speak the gospel. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you would help us now with this passage and what we've seen through your servants. Lord, that we might find ourselves faithful in those same things. Lord, there are people that are around us that you have given us opportunity with. And Lord, help us to see that opportunity as a gift, as an occasion that we might actually do that which would serve you, set treasure in heaven. Lord, not get distracted or sidetracked on all those other peripheral things that really speak more about us and our knowledge than about you. Then, Lord, maybe this morning in our congregation are some here that have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, maybe they've heard the message, they've heard the gospel, and they've delayed surrendering to it. Lord, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, help us to seek you, that we might also take this message to others. We'll give you thanks now in Jesus' name. God has spoken to your heart this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I've been waiting to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I want today to be the day of my salvation. If you're like that this morning, just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I don't want to wait another day. I want to trust Christ as my Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you said, there's somebody in my life that the Holy Spirit has spoke to my heart about. I mean, I just couldn't get that person out of my mind, that place out of my mind. And I want to... I've been nervous to go there. But I just want to boldly go speak the gospel there. God has spoken your heart. Still space up here this morning. Pray that you'd come.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
Amen.